second. Okay, and our next shiur will be on Emirat Hashem on Thursday. Okay, unless something comes up, but I assume that should be okay. And then we'll be on Tuesday, Thursday schedule, hopefully. Okay. Okay, for today, before we just get on here, just give me one more second. Ah, here we do have people. Okay. Yeah. Everybody can hear? Ellie? We're good. Okay. This doesn't distort the Zoom. Hopefully not. Okay. So let's begin. So the we were in the middle of discussing the Bedika implications. I can probably also adjust this if it's not. The Bedika implications of the fact that there would be a Birchas HaMitzvah. So I want to just discuss that for a couple of more minutes, and then I want to move on to discussing how Birchas HaMitzvah possibly fits in relative to the other categories of mitzvah that we are, categories of bracha that we are familiar with. Again, this is a massive, massive topic, and we're not going to be able to cover all of it, but at least we can we can raise some of the questions. So we were in the middle of discussing, the implications for Bedika, and I think Natan just brought to my attention, just in terms of who says what. Do you have the link? Do you have the... okay. So either way, but it's the... what I said in the name of the Meiri is really the Ram Chalava, right? So, and the Meiri actually... Meiri quotes it, but just to be clear... the debate about whether or not there's a bracha on Bedika la'achar zman isuro, which we're familiar with, that debate, the Rambam, makes it perfectly clear that that's where he draws the line, that there's no birchas hamitzvah on la'achar zman isuro, whereas the, there are other Rishonim, Chachmei Provence, who disagree and who extend bracha even to la'achar zman isuro. That's the shita of the Ram Chalava. The Meiri quotes it, but the Meiri himself actually is inclined, or quotes the other shitas that are even more restrictive than the Rambam, namely that you would only make the bracha on Yom Yadal. The truth is, in light of what we're discussing, I'm just repeating so far where we were, you could draw the line at a number of places. Of course, Yom Yadal ba'erev is the most restrictive, right? If you're going to limit it to that, if you want to say that's the initial takana, that maybe even be a din d'oraisa, right? Even the Ritva acknowledges that, and it certainly sounds like that might be the pshat in the Yerushalmi. Some understand that that's the pshat in the Rambam. Not about the bracha part. Is this echoing a little bit? Or it's okay. About the... the Daraisa aspect part of it, at least, or at least the initiation. Clearly, the most ideal time, Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bebesam, and, Or Haner Yafel Bedika, as well as the, original Takana, and of course, Yudalid, being the beginning of Erev in some respect. So all those things combined make, Yom Yudalid Ba'erev, whether, again, it begins or, in the Ravid sense, and if whatever that means, whether it means that, before Shkia, at Shkia, at Seis, whatever it is, right at Seis, or the whole night, evening, that's also, something to consider. But, of course, that's the most restrictive that you might be. Again, in the Gemara, we have no guidelines for this. All we know in the Gemara is that a bodek tzarek sheyivarech. We also know from the Gemara that there are numerous bedikos, but which bedika is subject, whether which bedika, or all bedikos are subject to tzarech levarech, that's something that we just don't know. So, given that that's the ikar, the ideal, etc., maybe the only daraisa, etc., is yudalid, that's a place to draw one, and that's a view in the Rishonim. on the other side, on the other extremes, the two other places, you know, on the extremes to draw the line would be Lifnei Shloshim Yom, even when there's a Din Bedikah. That's the debate between the Ra'ah and the Ritva. And La'achar HaPesach, which of course is the Rambam's limitation. And then of course within, you know, based on things that we have previously discussed, there are other places to draw the line. Like what about Toch Lamed Yom? Again, the Ritva certainly makes it clear that in his opinion versus the Ra'ah, you know, that's where you draw the line. There you do make a bracha as opposed to Yoser Mishloshim Yom. And the idea that maybe that's the Zman of the Chiyuv Bedika, Chovetz HaGavra at least, maybe that's the Zman of Chalos Shame Chametz. It's another good reason, you know, why that might be Koveya. Or maybe within Shloshim Yom, you're Mitzurav sufficiently to either the Chag or even Lel Yadalid, that you could say anything you do now, you know, is likra that. You're just doing that in advance. So maybe the real Mechayiv, and some of the Nuskos sound that way, the real Mechayiv is, you know, Yadalid, or, you know, Zmani Suro. Right? But the, you know, anything you do before Shloshim Yom, you know, is not Mitzurif to that. You know, it's prior. And within Shloshim Yom, the contiguity, you know, the time zone, you know, connection is enough that it gives it, you know, that particular tziruf. So it isn't just, oh, Shloshim Yom is Mitzurav to the mitzvah. Maybe within Shloshim, that's a whole different idea. The idea is that within Shloshim Yom, you know, it's like a time-delayed, you know, Zmani Suro, or time-delayed Yom Yodalel. And of course, since any of these points, the Chovetz HaGavra, you know, the Tziruf, you know, of Shloshim Yom per se, the Tziruf of Shloshim Yom to, you know, the Ikar Zman are open to question, so you could have just said that that's, you know, maybe only one aspect of Bedikas Chametz takes place at that point. You know, and not more. Maybe you don't have a shame chametz yet. Maybe it isn't considered, you know, a time delayed or a pre Yom Yodalet. It's considered a Shloshim Yom then. So the idea of the Ritva, which is that you can be mechalek between Lifnei and Toch, assumes that one of these or all of these qualitative distinctions prevails, and that the cutoff is Lamed Yom, even though, you know, you're not being chozer. In the other case, it's Lifnei Lamed Yom, you are being chozer, but those are qualitatively two different things, which is questionable. But it also assumes that not only are the, you know, earlier than Shloshim Yom Chazara Dinim, you know, equal to Shloshim Yom, but also assumes that Shloshim Yom, in some respects, is sufficiently equal, you know, for whatever of these reasons, you know, to Yom Yodalet. And you could argue with that. You could argue with that. You could say, you know, it's equivalent of the La'achar or Lifnei Lamed Yom, or even if there are differences along the way, and that there are other Nafkamina, it's still not sufficiently the same, you know, to the preferred or to the Zmani Suro or to the Yadalid to justify a bracha. Okay, so that's a major chiluk. Then, of course, beyond that, you have the question of, you know, Lil Yud Gimel and Yom Yadalid, as we've discussed. Yom Yadalid, that's the next place to draw the line, for good reasons. On Yom Yadalid itself, you know, Lifnei and La'achar Zmani Suro, you know, might be good places to draw the line. Right, even if you say that Yadalid Baboker, you know, Lifnei Zman, you shouldn't say, is the Zman of, you know, Bittel, let's say, and according to some Rishonim, the preferred Zman of Biur. So, you know, maybe the Bedika still has, you know, that Kiyum aspect to it. Again, and all this goes back to what we, you know, discussed on Thursday, you know, which is that, you know, again, there are several dimensions here, you know, that, you know, include and that exclude. That's the question of siag, the question of heksher, the question of, you know, mostly being preventative of the iser, you know, all these possibly being reasons not to make a bracha, as opposed to, you know, being mekayim mechovas agavra, and especially the din of makom, a makom ponu ben achametz, those kind of things, or being part of the mitzvah already of teshbisu, the drabanan part, the heksher deraisa part, being, you know, reasons to qualify, you know, for the mitzvah. So in analyzing, let's say, all of these components, the idea that there could be also a distinction, you know, not only between Lel Yadalin and Boker, you know, Shel Yadalin, but between, you know, Lifnei and La'achar, you know, Chatzos, you know, is very reasonable, right? And even within that, you might, you know, want to invoke, you know, the views of Rishonim regarding ideal Tashbisu, right? So let's say, you know, this question might be different for the Bali Atosis of the Imam, who think that the Ikar Mitzvah of Tashbisu is La'achar Zman Isuro, as opposed to, you know, Das, Rashi, Harambam, you know, Haramban, who think that the, you know, Ikar Mitzvah of Tashbisu is Likrat Zman Yisuro, and that it's Lifnei, you know, Zman Yisuro. So whether you make a bracha on Bdika, you know, Lifnei, you know, or even Lachar, you know, might be dependent on that. It doesn't have to be. It also, you know, we could distinguish between Bdika and Bir, that's part of the question. But it's certainly a very reasonable, you know, position to take. Another reasonable distinction then, in addition to Boker Shel Yadalin and then Chatzos Yadalin, is of course Toch Hazman, Toch HaChag, you know, itself. Again, the Gemara has that is a time of Bedika, and the question is, you know, is there a qualitative difference even between La'achar Zman Yisuro and Yom Yadalin and the Chag itself, right? Again, Bisvara certainly makes sense that there would be. Question is there? So, the Magen Avraham, the Shagas Aryeh, some of those pieces that we saw, they assume, you know, that, you know, the Din of Tashbisu begins, you know, either Lifnei or Bizman Isuro, you know, but they mostly assume that there isn't much of a difference between La'achar Chatzos, you know, Yom Yadalid, and Bachag itself. But the Noda Bihuda in a tshuva, in Madura Kama, Simen Chav, and other Achronim disagree. And they think that there is a huge difference between the entire Yom Yadalid, even Achar Chatzos, even Achar Zman Yisuro, and Yantif itself. And of course, you know, Misvara, we can all understand that. Akiva, what's a good example to highlight that question, something that we discussed already? I like your headphones.
I'm not sure.
Something that we discussed where you may draw the line. Mark? Let's just get the... Everybody's up there, right? Or they're not? What happened to the... What? They're here. I'm saying we can't get them there. No, just don't lie. It's okay. If we can't, we can't. I thought that's what the owl is. So what's the owl? Oh, the owl is just a voice thing?
No,
the owl is off. No owl during June's month?
No, we could turn it on. It was echoing.
Oh, okay. Then we'll keep it off. So, anyways... what's an issue? Zach? No, not so much. I'm talking about in terms of, let's say, Bidika. I'm saying another place to draw the line is even between, you know, Yom Yadal and after Chatzos, let's say, and the beginning of Tesvav. Noach? Well, that's true. That was what I was looking at, but that's 100% true, of course. I mean, we know, you know, that with regard to Tarovitz Chametz and Bayrabai Matzeh, you know, those certainly are, you know, the Chi of Kares, all that kicks in on Yom Tesvav. But you would think that if that is the case, that's even more reason, you know, for maybe Bedika, you know, to be relevant. I'm looking for something that goes in the opposite way, Zev. Excellent, exactly. Meaning Kofel of Zakli, which really is the issue of what am I looking for? That's the case, but the issue that highlights, I'm just reviewing things that just sort to show you how they're relevant. Yoni? Mitoch. In other words, the whole discussion in the Rishon and Mitoch about Mitoch, Rashi and Tosis and, you know, the Rambam, you know, and especially the Tshuva Sarajba, you know, and the Ritva. All of that highlights, according to some Rishonim, you know, that that you won't apply Mitoch on, you know, on Yantiv. And again, this is the question that we dealt with. How come it seems like you, if you hold Mitoch, you know, the Gemara says in Hamad Beis, that, you know, it's only because Rabbi Kish Maminat lost, Rabbi Kiva didn't hold Mitoch. But if he did, you know, then it would have been permissible to destroy, to burn chametz on Yontif, you know, and you know, that wouldn't be a proof that Ach B'Yamarishin Tashbisus Rami Batechem applies Daf Gemer of Yom Tov. The Ilu, the Gemara, and Davav is the, what was the, you know, the topic that we did extensively. The Gemara says that, you know, Matzah Chametz Kofin Olav Esakli. So if it's kofin olav zakli, obviously you're not supposed to burn it or destroy it, right? So one of the things that we examined in some of the Rishonim, all sorts of answers, you know, some of the answers are interesting and important in their own right, you know, and all of them are important, you know, in assessing whether or not fundamentally this question, you know, is accurate or not, or is an authentic, legitimate question. Namely, the question assumes that Mitoch would apply on Yom Tov, even though we paskin that Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu applies Erev Yom Tov, in the same way that it would have applied on Yom Tov if Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu applied on Yom Tov. Right? That's really the assumption. And that's an assumption which is called out in, you know, partly, maybe, in the Tshuva Sarajba, certainly in the Ritva, in the Tshuva that we saw of the Avnei Nezer, you know, in different ways that make it really interesting. But, again, the way I was trying to formulate it, you know, at the time was that you don't apply Mitoch, you know, when you are, even, you know, in terms of Tzora Ketas, when you're doing yesterday's Malacha, you know, when you're doing Erev Yom Tov's job on Yom Tov. Right? So that takes us back to looking, you know, at the Dine Tashbisu, you know, in one of two ways. Like, if you take, like, Noach's perspective, which is, well, everything just gets more intense on Yontif, right? That's why there's Tarobas, that's why there's Kares, that's why there's, you know, Mashu, that's why, all the things. So then you might say, well, there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu, maybe according to some Rishonim, it's the Chatchila Erev. You know, does that mean that there's no mitzvah or kiyum, you know, b'shas iser? Again, you'll have some trouble doing bit, you can't do bitul, obviously. But, you know, maybe the kiyum is even greater, because now it's even, you can't wait till zman isur, so maybe it begins earlier. It doesn't mean it isn't more intense afterwards, right? That reasoning would lead us to think that on Pesach itself, you know, with all the additional chumras and tzibritiyas mitzrayim being maximally applicable, you know, with all of that, that we, you know, we should say, you know, kol shekein. And there are some who assume that in the whole mitoch issue. Frankly, If you assume that way in the Mitoch issue, you might want to assume that way in the Bedikas Chametz issue too. Like if Bedikas a siag of achila, you know, that really grows, you know, when there's an Iser Kares, obviously. And even if Bedikas about presence, right? So the toxicity in the presence is certainly worse, like you said, like Noah said, Balyura is worse. So if Bedika, let's say, you know, maybe it's a Doraisa, or maybe it's a high Drabanan, or maybe it's just a regular Drabanan. But again, if it's something that is connected to a more intense Balyura, or a more intense Kares, you know, Iser, or Sipritit, whatever, it's going to grow. On the other hand, if the whole point was that it's a din in you know, Pinui HaMakom, Likrat, it's part of the Hechsher Lachana, you know, of making your home, you know, worthy of Sibritias Mitzrayim, you know, of Chagamatzos, so you drop the ball on that. You know, the Surim are worse, but this particular mitzvah of Tashbisu maybe has a more very finite window. Maybe it's Dafka Kodem Zmano, according to the, you know, Rishonim, not just, you know, begins Kodem Zmano, it's Lachatchila, or also. Right? Maybe it's Dafka. And even if it isn't Dafka Kodem Zmano, maybe it's Dafka Yom Yedalit. Maybe that's part of what Yom Yedalit is. You know, in terms of the Hakrava of Korban Pesach. And so it's all about, you know, the first Ach Bayom HaRishon. Again, the Rishon part of the Pshat part. You know, the fact that it's both Erev and Yom and Rishon at the same time. Its Rishon-esque element is because of its Erev. You know, and its Erev is because of its Rishon, both. So maybe that's a very small window. And again, I could divorce this from the question of Mitoch. I mean, you could say it's like being Mechave and Malachto, you know, B'yom Tov or B'moed. You know, you wait for your Dovra Aveds and, you know, and things of that sort. And therefore, just, you know, either way, that militates against doing this, and maybe it ruins the Mitoch. There might be technical aspects of Mitoch, you know, that would determine, or in the other direction, frankly. Maybe even anything that prevents the Iser is considered Tzorech Ktas, and this certainly at least eliminates the Chametz. So I might divorce the Mitoch question, you know, from this question, for sure. But I do think it's a good parallel and paradigm in that the Mitoch issue, according to some Rishonim, highlights that this really, you know, it's not that it begins Erev, and then, of course, Kol Shekein, it grows in intensity, you know, the same way that the Kares and the Balyura and the others do, but that it, in some fundamental way, right, is an Erev Chagamatzos mitzvah. And if you neglected it, now, are you going to go so far as to say, therefore, it's only B'diavet, it gets less, you know, it's still yesterday's, you know, work today, and that's not Mitoch, and so on and so forth. But the point is that you may lose the Kiyum mitzvah completely. Maybe all that's left is the Siag part. Maybe all that's left is the, you know, negating, you know, the presence part. But the mitzvah of Pinui Abayis, you already violated that. The mitzvah of taking the opportunity, Ushmartim Esayom Azeh, you know, of taking, you know, advanced, you know, measures to make your chametz, you know, to declare, and also to, did I just ruin it? No. To declare, and also to both declare and to effect, you know, change on Erev Chagamatzos, on Yom Chagapesach, you know, you drop the ball on that. And therefore there's still Bedika, because there are still some of those other elements of the six or so that we identified, and really doesn't really matter how many. You know, there's still some of them, but those are not the ones that justify the bracha. Right? If those, there were only those alone, then the comments of the Ritva and the Ran and the Rosh and the other Rishonim, you know, who say, ooh, it's a Kiddush, you know, would be correct. And therefore, even, you know, on Yontif itself, there becomes this critical issue. Yeah.
Is it possible, like, to suggest this
Svara that the type of confrontation that Bedika presupposes, like between the Bodeg and the Chametz, mm-hmm. it's like glory, I guess, like is too much
for the Bodeg
that's Aser B'Pesach. Like the kind of confrontation that like Bedika creates, like in its fullness, between like the Bodeg and the Chametz, is too much once Chametz is already in Iser Kares. Then as opposed to before, it becomes like in Iser Adar, just a pre-Pesach.
What do you mean by the confrontation?
On the Gemara, when it talks about Yehuda and the Chachamim.
Yeah.
So one of the Svaras, it's like very pragmatic, is that since it's in Iser Kares, we tell you not to do Bedika on Pesach, because Shema Yochal. Lo Bedilin Shimei. That's like one of the Svaras for the Chachamim, not to do Bedika at all. Like forgetting about the Bracha for a second.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if...
Well, on a pragmatic level, I understand that. But I'm wondering whether that should affect the bracha question, because the bracha question is more of a, you know, is this, you know, it more accentuates the kiyum parts. And I don't see how that is affected by...
What I'm saying is that we don't want to make Bedika more than pragmatic, because you're not supposed, like, the level of attention...
No, I understand, but the more we don't want to do that, the less we understand why there's a bracha at all. And to the extent that there is still, you know, a siag part or another parts, and there's a chiyuv bedika for sure. So I'm just not sure why that would, you know, to me that's more like what Noach was saying, which is a point and reason to say kol shekein, if you're going to say it. But we're trying to explain the shita that says. Not kol shekein, but dafka, meaning dafka erev. So that I don't really see that so much. Maybe try one more time.
The way I see it is that when chametz is already in Iser Kares,
right?
So then paying the attention to it in the period where you're supposed to be ignoring it. Supposed to be
I mean, but you do. The problem with what you're saying is that you do. Everybody agrees to do bedika.
Right, but not in like the not like.
So.
And like
right, no, but I'm saying you're. It's a pragmatic reason why you wouldn't, you know, and yet you do it. So I don't really see.
So you close your eyes and you don't have enough shavos.
I don't know. It's a little too mystical for my.
It's too mystical for me too. I don't.
Yeah. So yeah, I understand. I hear what you're saying, but I don't really see that. Okay. So, anyways, this question of where you draw the line, you know, I think is a really, really interesting question. I did want to talk about again. Josh had mentioned the other day some of them, but just very quickly, just to the Lashonos about La'achar Zman, which I think highlight this a little bit. Again, I think we made the point that. Like the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah are a little bit, you know, mostly saying the same thing. It looks like they're talking at each other, or, you know, I guess can't blame the Magid Mishnah, they came first in this case. But, yeah, so just for a second to speak about that, what is it, Gimel Vav? Yeah, here's where the Rambam says what he says, right? Kesef Bodek HaChametz Belel Yadalid, Obiyom Yadalid, Obitoch HaRegel, Mevarech kodem shiyatchil, then he quotes the bracha. Ubodik umechapis becholam makomu shemaknisim chametz imbadak lachar regel einu mevarech. Right. So again, the Magid Mishnah. These are interesting, both again in terms of the criterion for when, you know, you make a bracha. What do you need to make a bracha? But also just in terms of describing, you know, how mechudash lachar zman is. And I believe on Thursday, if I recall. What I was trying to, you know, the point I was trying to make in the end was that the relationship and the nature of Chametz She'avar Alav HaPesach is something that needs to be, you know, assessed, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that it's a Din D'oraisa. Even then, it's quite possible that it's a kind of Knas D'oraisa, or it's just a kind of shame or chalos Chametz, but that is already. You know, to a large extent, defanged from, you know, its significance, you know, because there's no Sipratis Mitzrayim in this Zman. So maybe this is still a kalos comments. At certainly if you only sell it, it's knasto raisa. So the idea that there might be nafkaminas in terms of hana, isuri hana, which I was trying to be medayik in some of the Bali Tosis themselves and the language that they use, as well as my suggestion that, and other suggestions I think also, that, you know, with regard to taroves, with regard to Minchas Chinuch type questions of Tziruf Lashior and Hasra'a. So that's all within Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me, who holds that, you know, the maximal view, which is that Chametz Arba Lama Pesach is a Din D'oraisa. And then I was also trying to suggest that even though that, you know, maybe the Rambam, who, you know, split Rabbi Kiva, split between Rabbi Yishmael and between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and who was criticized, you know, for that, you know, for being inconsistent, and obviously didn't think so at all, you know, reflects, you know, that idea. Not, you know, what Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, but in a way, actually, what Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, meaning just because you hold, you know, one doesn't mean it's almost like the other Rishonim are saying, well, either from a Limud point of view or from a shame, if there's shame chametz, it's got to be Balav or B'malkas. And there's, you know, he holds the shame chametz of the Fnei and the Achar, you know, and that's kind of like two sides of the same coin. And the Rambam's saying, I don't see why. These are two different Mechayvim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Either he's saying, for Rabbi Yehuda, they're one Mechayiv, but that's where we can part company. Could be, you could cholek on him, you know, in this question, Gufa. Or he's saying, even for Rabbi Yehuda, these are two different dinim, and therefore the arguments are disconnected completely. Right? But what I was trying to also add was that even if you hold, like Rabbi Shimon, even if you hold that Chametz Arba Lama Pesach is a knas, which is everybody's psak, the question of, you know, whether or not there's any, you know, shame chametz, A. B, something beyond, like, pure knas, you know, talking about things like the taroves again, and things like, you know, onus, you know, are there cases where you're actually blameless and yet you have a shame chametz shavar levabesa? Actually, I do think that the Rambam, you know, implies that, and there's other evidence of it too. Maybe we'll still have a chance to discuss that. But the idea that, you know, for Rabbi Yehuda, you could justify there not being a bracha. And even for Rabbi Shimon, you could justify, you know, the day of the Ram Chalava, you know, that there is a bracha. And not just because there is a bedika, but because of the bedika is still some sort of a kiyum, you know, in a chalos chametz. So for that reason, it's just very interesting to look at the Lashonos. Again, Rabbeinu Manoach. Rabbeinu Manoach here discusses this or not? I think he does. Yeah. Bimbada klachar regalinu mevarchatam mishum da'i zimna lav zman isure. The Lavzman Bira. I just think of the Lashonos. I'm just limiting it to the ones in the Nosa Kelim Alatar. Obviously, the Rishonim and Nachronim have much more to say about this, but we have to move on. We want to move on. So, Atam Bishum De Hahi Zimna Lavzman Isurei, the Lavzman Bira. Right. In terms of objectively, that's true. It's not a Zman of Isur and Bira comments, even though there might be, according, you know, a certain perspective, a chalos of chametz, you know, that remains, because since it was ovar olav bebal yirah, maybe you can never get rid of that. But it's not a zman. So he's assuming that the zman ha'is or the zman ha'biur are critical to the kiyum ha'mitzvah, not just destroying something that has a shame chametz. Ve'ech yivarech b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al dover shelo tzivu chachamim ki'im mishum knas. That part, you know, I think is, he's assuming, because it isn't Zman HaBiur, and it isn't Zman HaMitzvah, right, and it is mishum knas, that you can't say the word vitzivanu. But he's saying it in the narrowest kind of a way, as a pure knas. Well, you don't have to say that. You could say that the knas was that to perceive the shame chametz, that stigma, that, like, indelible, you know, stain. You know, maybe there's no chametz lachar zman a pesach kol hashana. You know, or even if there is, so it's an iser zman or whatever. But right here, it's more than that because it remains forever connected to that violation. And stamping that out is meaningful during the year too. Midrabanan and drabanan level. It's noveya from knas. Okay. Inami lo asru ela mishum knasa ve'ein mevarchen ala knasos. Okay, this sounds like a different answer. The first answer sounds like it's a problem of saying the words vitzivanu. And now it sounds like maybe you could say vitzivanu, but there's a din of ein mevarchen ala knasos, meaning that a knas is never a kiyum. It's always a negative. Shari ein knas ba el al yinei aveira, the aveira ein a mitzvah. Vim kein en yivarech. I think that's an interesting perspective, meaning a knas is always a negative. It's always neutralizing a negative. And neutralizing a negative is never a kiyum. You always need a kiyum in a bracha. Right? The Rishonim, you know, discuss famous Rashi in Sukkah. You know, Rashi says that Eim Avarchen Ala Minag, you talk about Chibur Arava, because of the difficulty of saying Vitzivanu. Right? A minag can be a kiyum, you know, but maybe, you know, its status and stature as a, you know, as a category of halacha, unlike, you know, a typical Drabanan Hechen Vitzivanu about which you can say Shalavicha Biagedcha, you know, Los Sasur, I mean, referring to the Gemaras and Shabbos and Sukkah, if you can't say that for a minag, so you just can't, you know, the Nusach HaBracha isn't accessible to you. At least that's one way to look at Rashi. Of course, the other way to look at Rashi is that Rashi doesn't mean it that way. What he means is that you wouldn't call it Vitzivanu because to begin with, like a minag isn't a chiyuv or a mitzvah drabanan, you know, it's like a niyug. Neo Klal Yisrael, basically, without, you know, having that kind of impact. Either way, what the you could have said it. Here, it's interesting in Rabbeinu Manoach that the first formulation is Lav Zman Bire, Lav Zman Yisure. You know, it's a knas. You can't say Vitzivanu. And the second one is nothing to do with the Nusach. You know, it's a fact that it's negative. Again, the implication being that Bedika typically is not just negative, but is positive. Okay? It's not just
Sorry. The second explanation of the Rebbe Manoach seems to be more related to mitzvah ba vera, but say ubirach neitz Hashem mishit.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's not. You think that's what it means? Maybe because he says the language of the Yerushalmi is like that. Sure, ein knas ba el al yidei aveira. The language of Avtani's pointing out that aveira ain a mitzvah, or ain mitzvah aveira, I think is actually right. If I remember the language of the Yerushalmi in Shabbos, you know, when the Yerushalmi talks about mitzvah ba aveira, the Yerushalmi says ain aveira mitzvah. Ein mitzvah aveira. So maybe that's what Rabbeinu Manoach has in mind. I don't think it's necessarily the case, but I do think that is an interesting idea. The Yerushalmi there talks about Korea b'chamaso, and then it talks about you know what happens if a person you know carries a matzah, you know, through Rishus Harabim, you know, and that's a famous Yerushalmi. You know, where the Yerushalmi seems to distinguish, obviously, where do you apply the din of mitzvah baba vera, which is understood, ein, you know, tohasam gufa vera, hacha hu avara vera, which is understood in different ways, obviously. But maybe that's what he means. I don't think he necessarily has to go that far. It isn't really a mitzvah baba vera in the typical sense, right? I mean, typical mitzvah baba vera is, and then Tani's saying it's, you know, Botzea Berech Nietz Hashem. You know, typical, you know, mitzvah baba vera is, you know, you want to you know, use a little of a gazel, you know, or one of the minim agazulim, you know, for the mitzvah of lulav, or you want to eat matzah, you know, gazula for the mitzvah of matzah. Right? Of course, that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about, you know, you violated by Rabbi Matze, and now the Kometz is Birshuska, and there's still a din of Bedika and Biur. Right. But maybe in the sense that, I think, you know, that the language probably does share something in common, you know, namely this idea that you don't make brachos on kiyumim, you know, not where, not on isurim, and like maybe that's his pshat in ein avera mitzvah in mitzvah avera, meaning you ruined it that way. Not just because it's tainted, you know, or that the chafsa shel averas, you know, is a davar, you know, in the eight Hashem, but you took a kiyum, you know, and by stigmatizing it or tainting it, you know, you turned it a little bit into, or you can't get rid of the identity or the association, you know, with the Avera. Instead of seeing that you're making a bracha on the on Dalad Minim, you know, people look at it and they say, you know, he's making a bracha on, you know, an Esrog HaGazel, you know. So I think it's a very interesting echo, you know, to pick up on. I also kind of picked up on it a little bit. But I do think either way that it's very different, obviously. And therefore, it's more the common denominator than anything else. Okay? Yeah?
Don't you also need Rebbe's addition? Because otherwise, there should be no difference between Tocha Pesach and Lach. I mean, both of them are Zman. It's
yeah, yeah, right, of course. Tocha Pesach, you know, as well. Yeah, 100%. Correct. And he's even sure in Knas Ba Eloi the Ami, so it's 100%. So you do need it. The Magad Mishnah just has language here. One second. Umasha, first of all, I always like when the Magad Mishnah says this. So Umasha Kasav Kishabodik Achar Pesach Enim Avarech Heim Divir Abenu Ruuya Neilav. Okay, I just always Magad Mishnah says this, you know, quite a number of places. You know, and I always like when he says it, you know. It's like his, you know, admiration for the Rambam just spilling over, like, oh, this is like another gem, you know, in the Rambam. So again, he says it like in, you know, end of you know, quite a few places. In the end of Hilchos Megillah, you know, when the Rambam speaks about the relationship between you know, Matanus Levyonim and Mishloach Manos, you know, the Rambam says, you know, it's so much more important, Matanus Avyonim, and he says the beautiful thing about, you know, the Rabon Shalom, and, you know, he's, you know, Lahachios Nitkayim, and all that. So the Magen Mishnah says, ah, Hadvarim, like Ruuya Meilav. And I think it's Hilchos Yom Tov, he also says it when the Rambam talks about Hanas Kreso, you know, it shouldn't be Hanas Kreso, it should be Hanas Mitzvah, and a whole bunch of places. So anyways, I always like it when he says it, so he says it here too. So let's just be aware. But again, the Advarim Ruim Elav, basically it's his way of saying, there's no Gemara, the Rambam's saying this out of conviction and instinct, you know, but the, you know, I guess if, you know, if the Magen Mishnah were speaking Yiddish, you know, he'd say, you know, good gezakt, or something like that. Devadai, you know, ain't Levarich. He might even, Tani, I don't know, maybe he might even made a song out of it, right? Like the rumors are swirling. Okay. So the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah says that ain't Levarich bebdika shalachar pasach, b'chol osa zman hu ochel chametz, right? V'ein habedika ele kedei lahavdil ben chametz zeh she'ovar leva pasach l'chametz acher. This is already to distinguish within chametzes, not to distinguish, right? It's not a zman where there's an isra achila. So the kiyum of bedika isn't about, you know, identifying and destroying chametz per se. It's about highlighting, you know, that that there's a zman matzah and a zman chametz. I'm just thinking, the formulation is interesting. V'imkein hechivarech al biur. Chametz, even though technically the words are true, right? But he is being mevar chametz, but not because it's chametz, but because it's chametz shavar lava pesach. It's not a statement about the zman, you know, the idan, you know, the age of chametz and the age of matzah. Okay. Avo betocha regel Interesting that he picks on Bal Yiroah, or not just even on Achila, right? Vada Yesh Levarech with Avar Baru, who's that? Okay. The Kesef Mishnah, as we, that's what Josh was quoting last time, Vim Tomar Maishna Debetoch Ragal Mavarech, Vacha Regal Eina Mavar. First of all, he just asked the question. Kiven to Travayu Zmani Sura, meaning the focus isn't on Bal Yiroah, and on the Zman, is it the age of Matzah or the age of Chametz? Right? The issue is, you know, whether it's a Chavtza Shalisa or not. Travayu Zman Isura depends on whether it's a Chavtza Shalisa. For him, it's a Zman Isura for this Chavtza. The Tirei to Rabba Magid, Shebetocha Regel, right, kiven shehu metzuva shelo yirah shum chametz pershuso. And again, Magid Mishnah is being careful also to, and this goes to Natan's point a couple of seconds ago, to distinguish between toch and la'achar. You know, it's easier to distinguish, obviously, between lifnei, you know, and la'achar. But some of those distinctions carry with them also the distinction between lifnei and toch. So again, this just is reinforcing, you know, our analysis, you know, that it's very compelling, you know, depending on what you think, to draw the line in different places here. Okay. So he's saying, like, you know, im kvar az kvar, kivin shu metzuva shelo yirah shum chametz b'shuso, vada yesh lo levarech. Oh. Aval achar regel, shehu ochel chametz, the aim b'dika l'kedei l'havdo ben chametz zeh she'avar l'pasach chametz acher, it's not a snake, imkein eich yivarech al bir chametz. V'lo nihira, to ha'shayich l'varech al bir chametz zeh she'u mevar. Right? Meaning, it's, who says it's about the age of chametz or the age of matzah? You know, it's about chametz shalisar and neutralizing chametz shalisar or shame chametz. Maybe those don't have a shame chametz anymore. Or even if they do, they're not chametz shalisar, right? So the idea of, you know, seeking and destroying, you know, this doesn't fit. But this is anathema. It is. There is a neon, you know, sign, or is there? You know, red, like, you know, chametz, chametz shavala v'pesach, right? L'kach eshlomar kibud kaimelon kirab shimon. It's interesting, again, the Magid Mishnah, right, didn't say anything, right, about knas, right, because for him, it's just enough to say, you know, again, frankly, the Magid Mishnah's reasoning could apply in theory also to Rabbi Yehuda, right, even if it's Daraisa, if you take him, you know, Kipshuto. Whereas the Kesef Mishnah just doesn't see that. Like, what does that have to do with the age of Chametz? It has to do with the Chafetz of Chametz. The Kach Yishlomar, Kiva the Kaimelon Prab Shimon, right? The Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach Mutter Bahana, El Anishim Knasa. Now, again, what about the Rebbeinu Manoach? He doesn't say Rab Shimon and Rab Yehuda specifically. So let's say Rab Yehuda was a Knas Doraisa, right? So, Elamishim Knasa, but he's holding Rab Shimon. The Sof, Imnis Arev Mutter, I think that's interesting also. Meaning it isn't even really, you know, an objective Chafetz Shel Chametz, because everybody agrees that if it's Nisarev, La'achar, that's a Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, right? So that shows that it isn't the Chafetz Shel Chametz, otherwise, like, he's assuming, not that it wouldn't be, you know, Kol Shu. Like, it wouldn't even be treated as, you know, Tom Kikar, you know, or maybe even Rove in Yavesh. Ukamot Shekasav, Rabbeinu Beperek Aleph. V'kivin Shekein, Kivin Shavar Lava Pesach, Im Hisha Osa Miata, Eina Over Alav, V'kivin Sheina Over Alav, Afilim Medrabanan, B'shehi Yaso. Like, there's no Iser of Shehiya. That's also interesting. So there are three points that the Kesef Mishnah brings up, I think. Number one, Rab Shimon versus Rabbi Yehuda. Number two, the Taromas, right? And number three, which I think is an interesting question, is there, like, you know, an Iser to be Masha, an Iser to eat it, and maybe an Ibadika to, you know, to identify it? Is there an Iser to be Masha Chamacharov Alva Pesach? Guess the Mishnah assumes not. So, Afilu Midrabanan, B'shiyasa Mekan Ve'elach, right? Heche Varech Al Bihuro. Right? I mean, it isn't really a Chefza Shal Iser either, even though that is what would be Koveya. Aval B'tocha Regal, right, he's too struggling. It's not only Lifnez, it's not only the Zman HaMitzvah. Shekol Shah Shemasho Se'over, right? Shaykh Levarech. It's a Chefza if it's Nisarev, you know, even, you know, even Bekol Shehu, you know, Lahalacha, but even, certainly according to the reg, it's a Chefza, there's an Iser, you know, it's a Zman. So it's just interesting to note the different emphases of the Mefarshim, all of whom are explaining the Rambam, but, you know, who are emphasizing different things. And the implications that actually fit into some of the other distinctions that we were talking about. Okay. So that's in terms of the Bedika aspect. Maybe we'll discuss other things about it later, but certainly these are, like, you know, the main things. So, of course, the question in light of this, you know, I'm just going to, you know, mention them again very, very, very quickly, of, you know, several other issues having to do with Bedikas Chametz, you know, just, you know, loom larger and clearly, you know, are potentially affect, I shouldn't say clearly and then potentially, but could certainly be affected, you know, by these perspectives. Now, if indeed, you know, there are different dimensions in Bedikas Chametz, like a siag part and a statement part and, you know, a Chafz Shal Mokom part and a Chovetz HaGavra part, but also, you know, again, just the Chafz Shal, you know, Iser, the Zman HaIser, all these different kind of things. You know, so, and we're trying to figure out, you know, when do you have maximal, you know, full, you know, loaded, you know, Bedikas Chametz, when do you have only partial Bedikas Chametz, when you have, you know, minimal, you know, Bedikas Chametz. So, like, a lot of issues. The Nusach HaBiur, you know, becomes very important, as we discussed. You know, Biur means, oh, it's a Hechsher and Tchilas Biur, Shlav Aleph, or Hechsher 4, or Biar Tiakodesh Min HaBayis, right? Which, again, some Rishonim point out here. Again, Rabbeinu Manoach here quotes Biar Tiakodesh Min HaBayis, like he's bothered. The Inyan Ezen Bavarchen Lo Beloshon, oh, hold on a second. Haidlo Barachinan, I'll get to that in a minute. Hai Dominin Al Biur. Elishina Nikar Bibrachosov Shutam Khan, one second. The Habir and Niska Bibrachazu, Aina Mashma Meloshan Abir Aleha Kohen, Shuloshan Srefa, Tafka, Eloshan Hashbasa, right? Bidika upinui minabayas. Kamo biyatir ha-kodesh minabayas. Shemashmo lashon pinui minabayas or lashlicho biyam ubaor. Okay? So this, of course, is also the view, as I mentioned, the Shibali Aleket and the Sefer HaPardes, you know, in Sefer Sibir Rashi, they have this, a whole group of Rishonim, some of the Chachmei Provence, quote this as well. But this is really an interesting question in a way. Like, what would be the Nusach HaBracha and what would it mean when you made it at different times, frankly? Like, can you talk about Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis at, you know, Lifnei Shloshim Yom? Right? Or at, you know, Shloshim Yom or only on Yom Yundalid when there's a din of Ushmartim Esamatos? Or maybe only Toch? You know, can you talk about it La'achar? Let's say, according to the Maram Chalava, if it means Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. Right? Hard to say. But again, this whole question of the Nusach HaBracha and its implications is very, very critical. Another question that is very critical, whenever you make the bracha, is the question of hefsek. Again, these are things we've touched on. I'm just reiterating them in light of our more detailed, let's say, examination of the different components and the fact that these, you know, range of components apply differently at different times. Right, so what about hefsek? Right, you make a bracha. Can you be mafsik or not? And, you know, after the bracha. And of course, our critical, the critical times being after the bracha. Like you made a bracha and then you're mafsik. Is that a bracha levatala? Do you have to repeat the bracha? After you start searching. Let's say that's the second phase. You certainly shouldn't be mafsik after you make a bracha. Don't do anything. Clearly. But let's say you start, you know, your search, and you didn't find anything yet. That's a second point. The question is, you know, it's the searching or it's the finding. And even if it is the finding, so then the next stage would be after you found the first little bit of chametz, first piece, let's say. Okay? So is it finding chametz and, you know, having something to be mavayer? You know, or making the statement with the finding of the chametz, of, you know, already, you know, making this distinction, you know, that it's the age of matzah, not of chametz, or whatever it is. Or is it really pinuy abayis? If it's pinuy abayis, right, then you have to wait until you go through the whole home, right? Or, and find all the pieces. So being mafsik after starting the bedika or after finding one piece, when there's more there, either to look at, you know, or even to find, would be an unacceptable hafsek. Okay? So this is a big diyun, you know, somewhat of a diyun in the Rishonim, and definitely a much bigger diyun in the Poskim and the Achronim and Shulchan Aruch. But you could make the argument, you know, that it's totally, of course, I mean, let's say it this way. You need to make the argument that, you know, these questions depend on what you think is primary about Bedikas Chametz. But you could also make the argument that, you know, if you are making a bracha, you know, lifnei shloshim yom, during shloshim yom, you know, Yom Yedalad Baboker, Yom Yedalad after Chatzos, you know, B'toch HaRegel, even according to those Rishonim La'achar, that the rules will change a little bit. Right? Because it's a different bedika. You know, when it's only, you know, 10% or 20%, you know, as opposed to all the components and the main components. Bedika may shift, even if you still have enough to make a bracha with. So, do you put out pieces at all? Again, some of them are shown in here. Actually, Benjamin Noach talks about this also. But again, it's a huge debate already. The Rush, you know, and that goes from Munia. The Rishonim, you know, speak about it extensively, and then the Achronim, you know, speak about it, you know, as well. The minug was to do this. One second, I think he has it here also, if I remember. One second. The Kasav Arayva B'tshuva Shem is quoting the Tzmim Deim. V'hani demashi chamira b'chorin kodim shah sabir. Right? Maisa nashimu. Doesn't mean that so much as a compliment. The ain lo shoresh adkan. So that's a Tzmim Deim. Tzmim Deim is very dismissive of this minhag. Who can dvar of kenu, delom bevarchin al metzias chametz, el al bedikas chametz, ulavaro mechametz, But you could have said it's not the case, that it's really, again, it's part of its tchilas biur, you know, and or, you know, I always thought, I've said this in the past, that you need, you know, to put out to pieces as a way of, you know, intensifying, let's say, you know, the bedika, testing the bedika, like knowing that there's ban there, you know, makes it a you know, more rigorous bedika in a way. So even if, you know, fundamentally, you know, this is of course the famous view of the Gra in terms of the Achronim. The Gra also said, like, you know, what are you putting? It's the chippos, it's the bedika, it's the effort. But I mean, I don't think it's a pasha. I mean, I guess Yisrael certainly is the other way. And I think that there are good reasons, you know, for the other. Again, if, you know, if I had to choose, I would go with this. I mean, mostly it is the bedika. It's making by its bottom. But if the idea is that you make, you know, chametz, every other piece of chametz, chametz sheni yadua, or your mokom panu b'chametz, even then, you know, the idea that you require a more rigorous bedika to show that you've really gone through the whole thing in order to do that, you know, makes sense for the same reason. So the question of hefsek and the question of, you know, putting out pieces is critical. The question of ketanim, like, can you have this done al yidei ketanim? Can you have it done al yidei nachrim? You know, people, you know, want their hired help, you know, to do the bedika. Can you do that or not? Is there shlichus for bedika? Do you need shlichus for bedika? And is there shlichus for bedika? Right? And do you need somebody who's a bar shlichus, you know, for bedika? So all these questions are very important. And they're complicated by the fact that there's more than one perspective on bedika, of course, but that also there may be more than one type of bedika, and you might just have a different ruling depending on whether you're dealing with chametz, you know, lifnei and when, or toch, or la'achar, according to Maram Chalava. Okay. Similarly, one other thing just to mention very quickly, and that is, let's say you do multiple bedikos. Let's say you bodek multiple batim. Like, how many brachos do you make? And l'chatkila, can you or should you do that? But let's say in terms of the brachos, let's say you have numerous homes, right? Is it a din in the makom? Or is it a chovas agavra? Does it matter, you know, when? Right? Doesn't matter. Certainly lachar. Even if you have din of lachar, there's no din of, you know, multiple batim then. Right? So, there are a lot of questions associated with the bedikas chametz, which are extremely relevant to this issue. Another one that's also very intriguing, I should add, is the question of zman. Like, Rishonim, again, engage in this question of Bala Itur, and, you know, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, Shimbali Aleket. Again, you have a little bit here in Rabbeinu Manoach, but, again, you have to go through all the details. I'm just not going to do that right now. But why don't you make a zman, a Birchas HaZman, on Bedikas Chametz? Okay? So the Rabbeinu Manoach here just brings a couple of shitos. So let me ask you, is this true, you know, when you consider, you know, it's a zman cheros, what it is that chametz, you know, represents. Is it really mitzar when you get rid of chametz, Korban Pesach? Is it also, mitzayer b'ibud chemtzo, considering that it's going to be, you know, aser b'hana, you know, very soon? And does Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Eliezer, whoever it was, you know, have anything to do with this? Shnei dvar min b'shusa shalad masana kasa b'kilim b'shusa? I mean, is it really, for various reasons, it's not so poshut to me that this is something which is aimbo or neged hanah. And again, there are Rishonim who think, who give other answers, including this Rabbeinu Nachman Noach here, you know, which imply that in a Hanami, you fundamentally could have or would have said Shechayanu. I don't think that they deny that you'll never make a Shechayanu in a mitzvah, you know, Sheyish Ba'etzev, right? So it's an interesting debate whether Bedikas Chametz and Bir Chametz, you know, is really something which, you know, which is a sad, unhappy, or resigned, you got to do it. But you know, of course, there are elements of, you know, you're destroying your cake, your cookies, your, you know, whatever it is. But not so simple. Garbin and Koyin Bavarek Shechianu. The Kamata Hanami Eliade. Some of the discussion of the, you know, Pidgin Aben, the end of the Gemara Mitzachim, very, very end, the Gemara's son Mistapek, who makes Shechianu. But anyways, Umidivre Harav, Bala Itur, he quotes this Itur. Nira Shein Bavarchim Zman Ela Mitzvah Haba Bizman Kavua. Bim Lo Asa Bizman Ahu Ein La Tashlumin. Right? It's the timeliness. So these, of course, are very important issues about Shechianu. You know, what is the main criterion? Are these separate, and which is the dominant, or is there a common denominator? So, you know, simcha, of course, is one element. What role does that play? Certainly it sounds like simcha is connected to zman, unless there's more than one dinim. Timeliness, or having a specific time, shechiyanu v'kimanu v'higiyanu l'zman hazeh. Right? So having said that, is Bedikas Chametz excluded because it doesn't really have a Zman Bli Tashlum? Well, let's say the contrast. Of a Biur, Acher, Shein Zman Kavualo, Shayotze B'Shayara, Kodim Lamed Yom, Chayiv Levayr, Va'osas Beitzo Otsar, Bishem Hachin, Levarchen Ala Zman. That's interesting. Actually, it's interesting that he picks the Yitro picks the example of Kodem Lamed Yom. Right? The assumption is, you know, that that's relevant. It's not just Kodem Lamed Yom is just about neutralizing, you know, the Metzius of coming back and finding Chametz. He considers that a real Bedika. He considers it enough of a Bedika to say, like, mid Kodem Lamed Yom, like Nishma, that all of Bedikas Chametz, you know, is not subject to Shechianu. Right? Number one, you could have said that Kodem Lamed Yom is just off the charts, you know, the same way the Ritva thought it was off the charts against the Ra'ah Legabe Bracha. It's also curious, you know, that only Kodem Lamed Yom proves it. Again, within Lamed Yom is not considered something which defies the requirement of Zmano Kavua Shein Lo Tashlumin. Apparently he doesn't consider within Lamed Yom to be Tashlumin. Right? That sounds also in the other direction that isn't so pasha. Oh. Especially if you say, I mean, or maybe the point is what he's saying, is that within Shloshim Yom, you know, it's a delayed Bedikas Yadalit. Or not delayed, an early Bedikas Yadalit. It's Mitzurav. Or is he saying the whole Shloshim Yom is really, because that's the Chovas HaBedika, or that's the time zone of, Say that again? What do you mean psychological? Oh, you think that's what he means? I thought, you think the Itur is also working Midin Simcha. Interesting. I don't think, I mean, I have to look at it again. I don't recall. I don't think that the Itur look at it. Did you have it? Do you have it in the original? Do you have the? Well, let's look it up and check. That's an interesting point.
The only problem with that is, like, the Abu Jaram quotes the Shita and he doesn't like it precisely for that point, because he says, find the parallel that if you do make a sukkah early, you still make a bracha.
You still make a bracha shechianu.
It can't be just.
Osa sukkah liatzmo.
Just about the timeline.
Right. So that would be, psychologically, it should be the same thing.
Right. So then that seemingly implies that the Shita can't be just about the time.
Right. Oh, I see. It can't. No, but it is about. What I'm saying is that it's about how you think of the mitzvah of bedikas chametz in time.
No, it can't be purely just about distance.
Distance. Understood. Right. That's a good point. I also don't think, with Asher, you'll check it out, but I don't think that the Itur connects it to Simcha. I think this is, like, as I said before, in general, when you encounter these, you know, Shechayanu issues, you know, there's one. You know, and again, there could be more than one din of Shechianu, although I find that difficult a little bit, but some people think that. But, or again, if there is one, or one dominant one, which one is it? Is it like a bracha on Zman, but, you know, Simcha is part of that? Or is it a bracha on Simcha, but Zman is part of that? You know, but I think this Itur itself is really zeroing in on the, you know, this is a unique moment. But again, it's just very interesting in light of that, to draw the line, you know, at that. So, and again, what would you say about, you know, if you were weighing it from that point of view, you know, some of these differences, you know, like, let's say you missed Yom Yadalin at night, you know, and, you know, you could only do it in the morning, or even worse, in the afternoon, or on Yontif. You know what I'm saying? In terms of, you know, Zman and what's considered like tashlumen, etc. So I hear you what you're saying, but I just I think it's really, really interesting. You have to look at all the answers. Again, I just don't want to do it now because I want to move on. But yeah, inami eshlomar kivin dekavu v'tali bizman hachag dailo bizman hachag. Of course, that's based on kedam rinon, according to the Gemara in the end of Sukkah. That osa sukkas aliatzmo. The Gemara says patrina le bizman hasia. Like Zera, what it was, what did he do? He was Al Kasa de Kiddusha. He was, what's the word? What did he do, Al Kasa de Kiddusha? The verb, I'm just trying to remember that. What's that? Misader Al Kasa de Kiddusha. The Gemara, that's the Gemara in the Membav in Sukkah. So of course this is also really, really interesting, because the question really is, yeah, Besadra Kasa Tikidusha, thank you. So you know, this is really interesting in general, you know, when you have something, you know, which is Zmano Kodem, like it say about, you know, Osa Sukkah Liatzmo or Osa, you know, Lula Liatzmo. You know, that it's not a din in Hachanda or Heksher, it's not a din in, you know, it's really a din in Sukkos. Just, of course, you know, just if you wait to do it on Sukkos, you know, you can have issues and problems. You know, so sometimes you do it in advance. And then how advanced can you do it in Stil Mitzurev, the din of Shloshim Yom, etc. Right? But here, if the mitzvah is, you know, Leil Yadalid, and certainly if the mitzvah is kodem zman isuro, and certainly if the mitzvah is kodem yom tov, can you say that the zman, that there's no zman because of the, it's covered by this, by the yom tov? I mean, the Arishonim and, you know, the Abadram and you know, also the Radvaz has this view, and others, I think Chizkuni has this in the Perush Al HaTorah, that say that one of the reasons that Sefiras HaOmer doesn't get Shechianu, that's a kind of an interesting parallel question. You know, again, where you get this kind of wide range of answers that, of course, will be shown him in the end of Psachim. So, you know, there are those who say that, you know, that the Shechianu that you say on Shavuos, you know, covers the Sefira, which is, you know, is part of the bigger question, you know, whether Sefira belongs to Pesach, you know, which sounds a little bit like that when the Rambam formulates things in the Chasam Midim, whether it belongs to Shavuos, like the famous Sefer HaKinuch and this Abu Dram and Chizkuni and others, or whether, it isn't my preferred view, which is that it belongs to all of them, and it's also the bridge between them, the line in the Ramban is Perash Olam Torah, that says that it's an Atzeres in the sense of like a Cholamoid, that stretches from the second day of Pesach, till Shavuos. So, but it's an interesting, I'm just giving you this an example, when will you say about something which is typically done in advance of some sort of a major, event, that it can discharge its obligation with the Shechiyanu of the event, right? So the more you in Bedikas Chana, it's certainly part of the question is, of course you're doing it, l'shem, l'chag, in honor of the chag. So I think there's a lot of merit, to saying it here. On the other hand, though, again, getting back to our Mitoch example and some of the examples that we're talking about before, right? If it's Dafka an Erev Yom Tov Din, again, you could say, oh, yeah, it's an Erev Yom Tov Din, but it's a, in that sense, like Sphira, it's an Erev, Shavuot, it's part of the Hechsher and the Achana, like the Chizkuni says, like, way I understand it anyway, like the Sphira makes the Shavuos, which is why there's no date in the Torah, that process brings Shavuos, it makes it possible Shavuos. So, but of course it's still before, so could you say that the Shechiyanu on? Interesting question. So anyway, these are all interesting things, I think. And if you look at the Rishonim, there are more answers. The Hagos Mamunia, some of them say other things, but they all say interesting things. Okay, so we're going to stop with this now. Let's go for a few more minutes. I have to run to a wedding soon, and I have to do something else before that, so we won't go too much more. And I still have to get my medical clearance. But, we don't incur, Asher's disapproval. I was going to say wrath, but it's not fair to say that. So, I'll say disapproval. I appreciate that he's looking out for me. So let's turn our attention away from Bedikah. There's so much more to talk about in terms of Bedikah. Like, it's a very remarkable thing. I mean, it's just, Bedikas Chametz, a couple of hours on a Lel Yedaled. But as we've seen again and again, there's myriad of details, but also just, it's a very fascinating institution and one which reflects, so significantly on the whole transition, on the whole nature of Chag HaMatzos, and Chametz and Matzah, but also on the transition that takes place, the when, the how, et cetera, including the things that we're talking about now, which is it Dafka, an Erev thing, or is it a Kol Shekein, that it's a Yom Tov thing, and all these questions are connected, and they're all, vigorously discussed, analyzed, and debated, by the Rishonim and the Poskim. So, yeah. Okay, so let's move our let's turn our attention, maybe we'll get back to Medika later, but, in the Al and Lila thing. But for the moment, let's talk about three perspectives on Birkas HaMitzvah. Let's take the broader part of the sugya. So this, as we noted, this is a sugya, it's the sugya that talks about Birkas HaMitzvah. Of course, many other sugyas in Shas refer to Birkas HaMitzvah, but this is the sugya that formulates Kol HaMitzvah Sevarchem Aleihem Ovel Asiyasan in the Bavli, and has the fascinating discussion about Nusach HaBracha, about Al and Lamed, and for that alone it's a very crucial topic. So this idea of Birkas HaMitzvah needs to be understood. It needs to be located, phenomenologically, you know, within the world of Hilchos Brachos. Right? What is it? We don't have a Gzeres HaKasuv. Again, the Gemara had its opportunity in a way. Right? When it said, you know, Minalan, you know, that the Minalan wasn't even on Birchus HaMitzvah. The Minalan was on, you know, Birchus HaMitzvah being over Lasiyasa. But the response was a formulation, you know, not a not a makar, you know, which kind of leaves us wondering a little bit, like, what is this, and where is it? Now, there is, like, an interesting discussion in the Gemara, right? The Gemara seems to have a, you know, the Gemara discusses whether Birchus HaMitzvah is Doraisa Drabana. Anybody know? Where? I don't know if I gave it or not. I'm pretty sure I didn't, but I probably mentioned it in the past. Any Brachos people here? Where? No. No. Well, I mean, maybe, whatever, cause that's Birchus HaMitzvah. That, of course, we've talked about a lot, too, but more explicitly, the Gemara talks about, you know, talks about Birchus Afroshos Trumas Amaisros. No Brachos people? We should spend a year and learn Masechet Brachos, right? No, I'm joking. a summer. So, the Gemara Brachos stuff Tezvav, you know, mentions that, you know, the Bracha Pashah, Froshos, Tribus of Isros, excuse me, is Drabana. So, right, I don't know if I can find that. I think it's on Tezvav. I brought this for another reason, but I believe it's Tezvav. No, I'll check it out. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. You have it? You have a line? Nothing? Go ahead. Yeah. So the bracha of Afrashas Truma is a bracha, is only Drabanan. Actually, it's an interesting, but there is a fascinating Tosa Rosh, Al Atar. Anybody familiar? Asher, it seems like you are. The Tosa Rosh seems to say that had, that the implication of the Gemara is that had Birchus HaMitzvah been Doraisa, it would have been Ma'akev. That's very fascinating. Like, so does that mean only, of course you don't have to read the Gemara that way, you could say, well, you know, the whole thing's only Drabanan, you know, and therefore there's Enal Mala Daber, you know, as opposed to saying, of course, had it been Doraisa, it would have been Ma'akev. They're saying, it's not even Doraisa. Not even the Raisa. You know, it had been the Raisa, then we would have said the next line. Okay, so that's very interesting. The question, of course, is, does the Tosa Rush mean, you know, if since he is being Bedaik in this Gemara, you know, would he have said something similar to other Brachos? Being Ma'ake? It's hard. The Metzias is a little hard, too, because, you know, you're talking about Birchus HaMitzvah, so we're saying, oh, it might be Ma'ake, the key of Ma'mitzvah. Like, what are you going to say about, you know, Birchus HaNenin or Birchus, you know, Shevach V'Hodah? So I don't know. But it could just be the Metzias is only that. But, or is he saying something like, you know, had it been Doraisa, its connection to the mitzvah, that might be very important for us. It's also interesting to note that, you know, the Gemara discusses this about, you know, Afrashos Trumas Maisros. You know, and there is like a famous, anybody know about this? Yeah? No, I just nodded, no? Okay. Lochalti, v'loshachachti milvarechacha. So on v'loshachachti milvarechacha, so Rashi ala Torah, Binyamin says?
He says, he didn't forget to make the bracha.
Says, v'loshachachti milvarech. And a lot of the mafarshim, including, I believe, the Ramban, attack Rashi, because they assume, you know, that the word lo shachachti, you know, levarecha means to make a burden, that he doesn't mean, you know, kind of in a, you know, in a broader way, but he means it literally, like to make the bracha. Asher kiddushon of himitzosav and tzivan. It could just be, you know, that it's like has a broader meaning. So again, they note this Gemara in Brachos and Daf Tesvav. So it's interesting that it kind of the, you know, specifically when it came to Trumas and Maisros, there's a whole discussion in the Achronim, you know, regarding this Tosa Rosh too, you know, because it's an interesting other facet. Now again, this is, you know, independently, you know, consequential, but I do think it may have a little bit of an element here too, regarding that Tosa Rosh. Anybody? Anybody know what we're talking about? What? What would it have been Ma'akev? Right? Meaning, it would have been Ma'akev the Hafkas Tevel? And then there would have been, it would have been Machalos Asuros? Or it'd be Ma'akev the mitzvah, the Kima mitzvah of Truma? Right? That's also an interesting. So that's something that Achronim discuss there. But listen, the bigger assumption is that Birchas HaMitzvah, maybe the Gemara seems to say that it's Drabbanan. Well, we, you know, we're left wondering, you know, with that Gemara and with the, does Rashi think, if Rashi means literally Milavarachacha, that, you know, that there are Makoros against that Gemara? Hard to say. Okay, so either way, there is something called Birchas HaMitzvah, and there are some indications that it could be Doraisa, or that if it was Doraisa, it might be very consequential. How consequential? You know, as I say, there's a wrinkle that has to do with Trumas and Maestros, but maybe not just a wrinkle. I mean, if you were literally to say that it, well, you know, that it didn't work because of it, as opposed to say that it's Ma'ake of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, that would be a huge, you know, Chiddush. It would say a lot about the bracha. So how could you even think, let's just take the Tosa Rosh, you know, how could you even think that Birkas HaMitzvah on any level, you know, that a bracha would be ma'ake, that it would be Doraisa, that it would be ma'ake. Oh. We of course have other categories of brachos that we're familiar with. What are the other categories that we're familiar with? David? Birchas Shevach v'Hodah. What's an example of that? Say again? Interesting. Okay. Birchas HaGomel. Yeah. What else? Like the whole group of brachos. Birchas HaGomel is a good example. But you know, a whole group of brachos that we are familiar with in the end of Masechet Brachos, we call them Birchas HaRoeh, Birchas HaMazon, excellent. So V'chalta V'savata Uveirachta, that's certainly Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a, Ad Kedei Kach, right, that the Rishalmi famously says there's no Shomea Kona, or at least, you know, mostly there isn't Shomea Kona, because Misha Achal Yivarech, meaning, you know, you shouldn't farm out, you know, your personal, you know, thank yous, right? So, Birchas HaMazon, Birchas HaGomel, Birchas HaRoeh, what's like example of Birchas HaRoeh? Like you encounter thunder and lightning, right? Or you encounter some, you know, some royal presence or some other phenomenon, or, you know, sometimes it's a social phenomenon and sometimes it's, you know, a natural one, right? But there's a whole group of brachos that are in the category of Birchas Shevach, you know, V'Hoda'ah. When are they typically made? When? I don't mean, what's that like? I mean, relative to the phenomenon. Before, after, during, after. Right? When you experience lightning, or you experience thunder, or you know, Yatsa Mibes Sasurim, or, you know, whatever, the Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, right? So there's the response, the reaction to the phenomenon triggers this requirement So that's called Birchas Shevach Vodah. Doraisa or Drabanan? Ah, a little bit of a trick question. David, you're on a roll here. Well, probably most of them are Drabanan, but certainly some of them may be Doraisa. There's certainly one in particular that you mentioned. Birchas HaMazon, right. Birchas HaMazon is certainly Doraisa. We say that's the Pshat and V'achalta V'savata V'racha. Again, what Kedei Sviya means, you know, how much it is, that's a different question. But the phenomenon of there being some Birchas, you know, Shavach V'Hodah, that is Doraisa, which opens the question about whether others, like Birchas HaGomel, you know, and other things, maybe some others are Doraisa. The phenomenon is certainly more than, you know, all Drabana. Okay, but it's a certain character. We understand, you know, on a human level, we understand what the purpose of right Hakaras HaTov, Shevach, you know, and Hodah. There's a difference between Shevach and Hodah. Hodah means thanksgiving. Shevach is standing back and being, you know, amazed, right? Awestricken, I guess, is the right way to say it. Awestruck, right? But, you know, the logic behind, you know, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah is clear, right? And Birchas HaMazon certainly is a din Doraisa. You know, why you personally need to express, you know, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah is understandable, right? Then, of course, is another category of brachos called, Zach? Birchas HaNen. And what's that based on? That's the Gemara in the sixth parak of Brachos, right? We're doing like a quick, this is what we can do it in the summer, you know. Kol anena min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha harizim bo'al or gozel, right? There's different formulations in the Gemara, right? So that's a svara, it sounds like, right? So that's the source for making Brachos, you know, before you eat, before you're, you know, before you are nene from reach, etc. Doraisa or drabanan? So pretty much the answer is drabanan. Are there any birchas hanen that aren't doraisa? According to anybody? Well, yeah. So there are some. There is a view in the Rishonim that a motzi could be doraisa. Possibly a motzi, possibly birchas hayayin. What's unique about hamotzi? Well, we know it triggers birchas hamazon. That's a hint. But that isn't the reason. That just might be an indication. So what would you say is birchas is unique? If indeed it's doraisa, most Rishonim think it's drabanan. But there is a view that birchas hamotzi might be doraisa. Why? What would you say? Iker Mazonos. I'm not sure if that alone. I mean, that's what you're eating, right? What would you say? What's singular about Birchas HaMotzi? Well, it triggers Birchas HaMazon. Okay. Excellent. Exactly. It could be that, and this is like a massive topic in Ketzim Varchen. It could be that Birchas HaMotzi, right, is not perceived only as a bracha on Chafetz Shalechem, which itself is very, very prominent, but because of its prominence, right, it is the embodiment of Suda, and therefore Birchas HaMotzi is a Birchas HaSuda, which would explain not only why it triggers Birchas HaMazon, right, but also why? What other phenomenon would it explain? What's unique about hamotzi or lechem? And I kind of alluded that there might be another parallel to it as well, you know, on the drinking side. What? No, the status of main chalice is also an interesting question. True. Yeah, but that's not what I was asking for. We're saying, number one, it triggers Birkas HaMazon. I mean, the ayin will also trigger, you know, being shalosh, that's true. Maybe it's related to that, but other things also do. What's unique about lechem and yayin?
That the bracha is more specific.
The language of the bracha is more specific. Motzi lechem in haaretz as opposed to category, broad category like mizonos. So it seems like we're zeroing in and giving special status to these particular chafzas. True. But what other technical, practical... Some people are motivated, you know, sometimes to eat bread. Why? Because they like bread. Maybe. Okay. I mean, that could be for reasons of... That could also be a reason that, you know, that you're Kovea Suda thing, because it's Birchas HaSuda. But what phenomenon does it also explain? I mean, it's an obvious one. You're going to, you know, kick yourself when I tell you. That you don't have to make other brachos. That you can be yotze, right? When you make a birchas hamotzi, mostly, right, with other foodstuffs. That's an interesting. Again, we it's girsa diankasa, and it's, you know, we do it all the time. So just we don't think about it, the phenomenon. Like, why do you get to do that? If you eat an eitz, you still have to make an adama. If you eat an adama, you have to make an eitz. It's even a bigger kiddush. Right, because you could say, or shahakal. You know, with the eved, you know, you might be able to use shahakal in a wider way. But if you lechatchila, if you make a shahakal, you still have to make an eitz, and you still have to make an adama. Right. So why, mostly, you know, in the context of the meal, when you make a motzi, you know, you don't have to make shahakals, and you don't have to make other. You might have to make a bracha on things like that's the whole discussion of the sugya in Ketz Mevarchen, Adron B'Tocha Suda, Adron Machmas HaSuda, Tochan Machmas. But in a sense, that whole discussion itself is really about, I'm going to stop for 1 minute, this issue, namely which issue? What we're really saying is, there are two explanations for why, you know, once you make a bracha on lechem, right, hamotzi, that you don't need to make specific other brachos. Why? Either because of the principle of... Oh, you tell me. What could be the two explanations? Yeah, exactly. It could be, and that's the best explanation, because you made a birkas ha-suda. It's a more general bracha. And therefore, all things that are included in the suda, right, are under the rubric of the bracha that you already made. Exactly. So that's why, and that's why there's this whole issue of Dvarim Habayim, Machmas HaSuda, Toch HaSuda, like when you have the dessert, if it isn't an expected dessert, right, it may not be included because it's outside it's outside the confines of the meal. Right, it's an after meal. That's the question: is how? What's pshat? What's the legal halachic status of dessert or different desserts? Right, like if you're expecting cake at the end of the meal, it's like kinua chasuda or fruit. You know, that's different than if it's perceived as an after meal, you know, addition or delicacy. Right, there is another explanation. You don't have to say all that. There's another possibility. And that is that there's a rule. There's a rule in Mishnah and Brachos, right? It's a klal, and that's the rule of ikar and tafel. Right? Whenever you make a bracha on the ikar, you're pater min ha-tafel. The question is, what does that mean too? Right? There are different models for that. Okay? But, and that's so the way some people explain the din, you know, of lechem. Lechem is always ikar, or almost always ikar. And therefore, the dvarim betocha suda, machmas suda are covered, etc. But on a liquid level, right, you may have that with yayin as well. So again, is it ikar and tafel? Or is it that, like, you know, bread is the birchas suda for food, and yayin is the birchas suda for drinks? Right, even if you didn't have lechem. in terms of other drinks. Well, these are all big issues. They're not for now. Why am I telling you all this? Okay. So all of this comes from... All this is part of the world of Birchas Hanenin, which also includes the Birchas HaReach, right? And it's based on what the Gemara calls Kohanenim and Olam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Harei Zeh Moal. But there might be some Doraisas. Right? The majority view, I mean, everybody agrees Birchas HaMazon is Doraisa in terms of Shevach V'Hodah. You know, the majority view, the consensus view is that all Birchas Hanenin are Drabanan. And there are some Rishonim who think that Lechem or maybe Lechem and Yayin, you know, are exceptions. Okay. Either way, the when do you make a bracha Birchas Hanenin? In advance. Okay, we know that. What's the... It's like Birchas HaMazon or not? In its nature. Right, I mean, that the Rav said that because it's... That Kohanenim and Olam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Reza Mo'al, right, is exactly this idea. Meaning, it's the idea of Birchas HaMazon is, you know, you already benefited, you had the experience, or you experienced, you know, the thunder and the lightning, and you're like, you know, deeply impressed. The presence of the Ribon Shalom in the world, you know, and his sheer power, you know, have moved you, or they should move you, and therefore, you know, your response is to make a bracha, Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. You've eaten, you've enjoyed, you know, you should, you know, that should trigger thanksgiving, you know, and Shevach, right? But the case of, that's not what Kohanenim, Olam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Reza Mo'al means, the Pashtos. It means, you know, how dare you steal my, it means, you know, Haaretz, you know, Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem, Va'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, but it's still, the Ribon Shalom, he's still Kone Shemayim Va'aretz, you know, and therefore Lashem Ha'aretz Umploa, and therefore if you, you know, if you eat without asking him or without acknowledging him, then with a capital H, then you, you're a thief. So the way the Rav used to say that was, you need a matir, meaning you can't do that, you need permission. Although, yeah, we'll see that could have a wider meaning. And therefore, the bracha always has to be kodem, right? Making a bracha, you know, when it's over. Now, again, let's say you didn't make a bracha, you know, and you ate something, and you're still in the middle of eating something. So the Gemara says, oh, Misher, you know, Ochal Shum Verecho, you know, Nodef, and all that. So, of course, you should, you know, make the bracha now. It's not, you know, just because you forgot is not an excuse to continue eating without a bracha. But let's say you finished eating, you know, then, you know, of the bracha is hollow. Right. Okay, so Birchas HaMitzvah basically could be understood, let's say, in three ways, and with this we'll end for today, and we'll pick up with this, Amir Zashem, try to make strides on it Thursday. I think I gave Marba Kamos quite a bit on this, right? Tosefta Yerushalmi to look at? Yeah? I did. Before our break. Yeah. Okay. So, I just want to make sure people are... Yeah. So, and then I want to talk about the owls and the lamas, but first I want to spend a little bit, just a little bit more time on all this. So, Birchas HaMitzvah could be understood as a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. Just instead of, you know, the... You know, your appetite, you know, and your health, or your joy, you know, from having enjoyed a good meal, say thank you to the host, right? So here, you could say that you're, you know, saying thank you or expressing Shevach V'Hodah on the opportunity to, you know, Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael L'Fikach Chibur Lehem Torah Mitzvos, to build up your spiritual, you know, profile. In a pragmatic way, to earn credits. But I think much more than that, you know, that's the least of it, to the Ribon Shalom has provided you a pathway, right, to a meaningful life. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. You know, to, otherwise we just, like, in a fog, we don't really understand, you know, what the world is all about and whether there's any meaning in it. You know, it could be asher karcha baderech, you know. So, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalom provided meaning for us, and he, against all logic, provided an opportunity to establish a relationship with him. Meaning against all logic, meaning against all philosophical understanding, right? Because he's a being, you know, whose omnipotence and omniscience, you know, would seem to militate against any kind of kesher, you know. But, you know, it's impossible, as I always like to say, but also indispensable, you know, to have a kesher with him. Otherwise, there can be no meaning in life. Okay, so, you know, certainly we can, you know, if we're saying thank you for the food, you know, and we're expressing awe, you know, for the miracle or for the power of the thunder and the lightning, right? Then certainly we can, and even, you know, saying thank you for letting us out of prison or out of illness or whatever, you know, then certainly we can also express our appreciation for having a pathway to do the impossible and to do the indispensable. That's how I would look at it. So one way to look at Birchas HaMitzvah is that when we say Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos HaMitzivanu, it's also Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. Except we need to explain, you know, why we anticipate as opposed to respond. You don't do it after the mitzvah. Maybe there are technical reasons for that. You know, maybe you're in control, and I think you could go technically to explain that in two ways. Number one, maybe in theory you would, if you could anticipate, you know, the phenomena, you know, you would do it in advance too, but you can't, you know. You don't create the thunder, it's not biyadcha, but you could do this mitzvah, you know, and you're about to do it. Or maybe it's actually in the... So that's one reason, kind of a technical reason, why one follows and one is in advance. Or maybe there are other reasons, you know, having to do with, you know, we're saying thank you about different things. And one, it's an experience. And the other, it's, you know, the opportunity. So maybe for experiences, you know, de facto you have to thank. And maybe for opportunities, you know, you anticipate. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to stop. So, thank you. So I think that's, you know, possible, and then it's still under the rubric of, that's number one. The second possibility, I'm just going to mention the possibilities, and I have to go to a wedding also in a couple of minutes, is that it's, you know, much more similar to Birchas Hanenin. What do you mean? You're stealing, you're not stealing mitzvos in the same way that you're stealing, you know, a peach and a pear, you know, or even tvua, right? But that's where the Rav's idea of calling it a matir, you know, is particularly helpful. And what he means by matir, first of all, it's based on the Rambam's language. Anybody familiar? I think I told you to look at it. Yeah? Josh? Kishem shemavarkin ala noya, kach mavarkin ala mitzvahs. So the Rav was very impressed with the kishem in the Rambam. He felt that it didn't just mean, you know, over, the common denominator of over, you know, so but that it implied that there was some sort of a conceptual link. So the conceptual link being, you know, the idea that, of course, you know, eating somebody else's food, you know, requires a matir. You can't just do it. You have to ask permission. But intellectually or philosophically, theologically, you know, engaging in mitzvos, which is a way of coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, also requires a matir. You know, the Gemara speaks about the Megillah and Brachos, you know, that's a chat they say, Noras, Sihilos, you know, that you can't use terminology, you can't describe or even compliment, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, in your own way, free expression, unless you're kind of invoking, you know, Masoro, like, you know, if it's a language that was used by the Avos or by David HaMelech or Kisvei HaKodesh, you know, but let's say you want to be more episodic. It's a very interesting question, right? Meaning you have to acknowledge that by using any kind of terminology and by thanking or by doing things that imply a kasha, there's a certain level of presumption involved. Like who are you, you know, to say, to wax eloquent about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Right? You're not on the same plane. And therefore, you know, even that is presumptuous. That's the idea here. So any Dover Shebekdusha, any Maisa Mitzvah, anything which implies a relationship or is for the purpose of furthering a relationship, which implies, you know, that is acceptable, is presumptuous. But that's really what we say in the bracha when we say Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav Vitzivanu. We can do this because we didn't make it up. There's precedent, and even more specifically, depending on the mitzvah, this comes from the Rebbe. It's directed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we're complying. You know, alone, maybe this would be a problem. We need a matir. You need a matir to come close. You need a matir to do things that imply and that further that kasher. You have to make sure that it's acceptable to, you know, to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. So in that sense, the Birchas HaMitzvah is a statement, you know, which explains, like, how could you do this mitzvah of Dalet Minim or Tkiyat Shofar or whatever? Like, what gives you the right? What gives you the, you know, the stature, you know, to do this? The answer is, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu, you know, by say, that's the matir. Of course, if that's the case, then the requirement of over lasiyasan and the sharp contrast to Birchas Shabbat Bahodah is clear. But I think that there's another possibility, third, and that is that this is something that is unique to mitzvahs themselves. First of all, this matir aspect, I would say, is a little bit different than the matir aspect of Birchas Hanenin, and that difference, you know, may sufficiently establish Birchas HaMitzvah as an independent category. But more than that, maybe there's some evidence that Birchas HaMitzvah, and this goes back to that Hava Mina, especially as the Tosfos Rosh brings it out, maybe Birchas HaMitzvah is necessary also, and even if it's necessary, let's say that it is a kiyum in the mitzvah itself. Namely, by formulating in advance what it is that you're doing. That's all I'll talk about next time, whether in terms of kavanah, lishma, mesasek, like transforming the physical action, you know, into a, you know, a spiritually significant one, maybe the bracha helps for that. That's totally different than Birchas Hanenin and then Birchas HaShavach Mahodah. In other words, that somehow the Birchas HaMitzvah is a kiyum in the mitzvah itself. In general, in all mitzvos, in generic mitzvos, or in each specific mitzvah? Also something to think about. So that's what I want to pick up with. I want to talk about the language of the Ritva here and some of the other Lashonos, the Makars of the Tosefta, the Yerushalmi, you know, and the implications of this for, you know, Kodem Asiyasan, Bidyeved, Lakar Asiyasan, Lechatchila and Bidyeved, you know, Be'emtza Asiyasan, right? Let's talk about some of these questions next time. Okay? To be continued. So we're next year is on Tuesday. No, sorry, Thursday at 11. Okay? All things, if it changes, I'll let you know. But all things. So did this thing work?
Very well.